Random thought. Mm-hmm. Sleeping with the boss can be good for your career, and at the same time, it can be bad for your career. True or nah?
I guess it depends on who your boss is. If your boss is the manager at Dairy Queen, you get free star sandwiches.
Great. Oh, my God. I can't believe that's the bar we're setting right now. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
It's Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 125. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and please leave a review.
So, Deborah Lee was out making rounds because her new memoir, I Am Deborah Lee, is out now. Deborah Lee, former CEO of BET, and she revealed something that, I don't know, I never knew, but I also didn't think to think about it, never questioned it. But, you know, there was an affair that she had with co-founder of BET, Bob Johnson, you know, mm-hmm. who also went on to, as some people would say, ruin the Charlotte Bobcats. but he, apparently, he was a mentor to her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 10 years, they'd worked together for 10 years before they began their relationship. Now, when they began this relationship, they were in, you know, they were married to other people. So they ended up getting out of those marriages. Relationships going. She said, you know, the relationship was defined, a downfall to a relationship like this, if you want to get out. And it came. I wanted to break it up. I saw it wasn't a long-term relationship, and my job and my career was held over my head. It was like, well, if you want to break up with me, you can leave tomorrow. Mm. There are a lot of people right now who said in the comments, as you saw this story go up last week. Okay. There are a lot of men in the comments. Let's just specify this. Who are like, well, why didn't she just leave? I mean, if you didn't want to do it anymore, just leave.
Well, that's the problem with these type of stories is men, we can't wrap our mind around that. And we can't wrap our mind around what that power dynamic looks like. And it just goes to show it doesn't matter what position, skill level, education level that women are in. They still can be victims in some case in this type of deal, because she was very intelligent. Woman. Mm-hmm. She started out as what, general counsel or something like that?
So, vice president and general counsel, yeah.
So, I mean, she's smart. She wasn't like she was just somebody working, you know, the front desk as an admin, you know. So she's highly intelligent, but these things can happen. And so it might not be as easy to get out because they have to think of, if I leave, what could this powerful person do to my career, my name, everything I've built up for myself?
Because her thing was, that was 20 years into my career at BET, and this is a quote from her, so I would have lost everything. And her thing on that was like, how do I go someplace else? Apply for a job and can't even get a letter of reference from someplace I was at for 20 years. How does that play out now, right? What does that next company say? Well, they ain't gonna say nothing good about you.
Well, and if you think about it from a recruiter perspective, mm-hmm. that was the mindset in the 80s, a letter of reference. If you're a VP executive today, they don't need to get a letter of reference from someone else that you worked at to validate why they should hire you. They've done their...
Even in the 2000s? Because this wasn't just the 80s, this was 2000. So
yes.
Same thing?
No, if you're that high level, they're not going to be like, hey, we're really interested in you, but can you get someone at your company to vouch for you? It's not going to happen. Like I don't understand why companies still do reference checks. Now, if you're trying to work with, you know, if it's security clearances and all that, very different. But outside of that, why give a reference check? Because if I ask you, Yanni, I need 3 references, you're not going to give me any name of anybody that's going to say something bad about you. You're going to give me people that just say, Yanni's awesome. So why even ask for it? But I think at her level, she still would have been fine. But I wonder at that point, if she wanted to get out, you know, how much stocks, how much all this other stuff, if she had to cash it out, could that have been enough for her to actually leave the company?
You know, this is exactly why we have this conversation, because from an HR perspective, right? And even a recruiter perspective, because you just said something that I don't think a lot of people realize, even in the 2000s, that, oh yeah, you didn't need, because we were all taught, you need a cover letter, you need a resume, you need 3 references. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but even if you call the old job and say, can you contact this old, your previous place of employment? And if they happen to crazily check yes, and your old boss had a lot of bad things to say about you, technically he couldn't say all those things, right?
Correct. And as a job seeker, you could have sued them to say, hey, y'all are stopping me from getting employment, saying all this negative stuff.
See, that's what I thought.
So And most companies, what they will do is, hey, well, here's an HR number, or here's an 800 number, you call this. And what you would get is, they worked here from this time to this time.
Right. What
were their pay rates?
Yeah.
And you might get eligible for rehire or not eligible for rehire. But other than that, that's all you're going to get. Yeah, they did work here. And here's, you know, if you need to confirm their pay, this is what they made, if that. But at least you'll get, they started here, here's when they left. But they're not going to tell you too much else, because that exposes that company to be sued.
See, so having worked in such a different style corporate structure, right? And I said it because you're dealing with creatives, and creatives are just a completely different breed anyway. You're going to, look, a creative can sit down between the two of us right now, talk, and we'll have two completely different things to say about them, because their attitudes are one thing, work ethics another thing, but their creativity is what it is, right? So for me, this is fascinating in a sense, like it's because you're hiring, and I've never was a big one on checking reps, because you know they're all going to say good things. I may call somebody who doesn't know them, who they don't know, and know, like, hey, so tell me about this person. Now, they can't say anything bad.
Mm-hmm.
But really and truly, from what you're saying, from the resume and the references, all you're going to get is the real story, or the quote unquote real story, is going to come from the person interviewing for the job anyway. Because you go, so tell us about why you're not eligible for rehire. Well, what happened was,
right,
there were some haters over there.
Right. Right. I mean, you have some, I call it old school thinking. You have these old school folks that they need to have a reference, they need to have this.
Right.
Like, if you need all of that to make a hiring decision, well, then you're not really a good hiring manager. Now, again, it depends on the type of industry and the type of position it is. But, you know, you don't really need all that stuff. And what would BET negatively say about her? And what I don't understand is, if she wants to end a relationship, why would you tell her she has to quit now? Because I'm sure Bob Johnson was also sleeping with other people.
Now, there's that. But let's be honest. What man is sleeping with somebody on the side and only has one side, or even wants that side to be sleeping with anybody else, or break up that relationship? You and I are in agreement. It's like, people are crazy for this thought, but it's like, that guys who will be in a relationship, have a side piece, and be mad if the side piece even talks to somebody else. Like, what are you doing?
Well, women do the same. If they're in a relationship, okay, and they have their side dude, and they get upset the side dude's going on a date, oh, why are you going to do this? So it's just natural to be jealous, because you have some type of emotional bond and connection with somebody. But I'm like, Bob, let it go. Now, maybe I think that, and again, I'm only speculating, when you're in that type of relationship and at that level, you know things. You know where the bodies are buried.
Yeah.
And so his concern is, if she were to leave, what is she going to say that could negatively impact this? Because this happened so long ago that we just found out about it recently. But did his wife know this was going on? Did her kids know? Did her ex-husband know that all this was going on? Did they have these affairs? That could really start some more drama.
She did say that once they ended their respective marriages, that, you know, she said, but people knew. And I'm assuming that means people in the office knew, right? But I don't think he was worried about her leaving, because he's like, all right, you want to break this off? There's the door. Don't let it hit you in the ash. I think that's pretty much, but that's again, the old school mentality of the power dynamic. And you always talk about the power dynamic in relationships, regardless of whether it's the male or the female that has that power, based on income, right?
Mm-hmm.
And money. And that power comes with money.
Well, and also I would put this in what I call the Bill Clinton category.
Uh-oh.
You hook up with somebody that you're close with and you see on a regular basis, makes it easier. So you're working late nights, you're doing these business trips together and all that type of stuff that happens at that executive level. It's easier to hook up with this person compared to someone else, you know, and in a sense, you both have something to lose if this goes badly. So you're both in it together. So, I mean, you know, whatever reason that they got to this point, great. I just look at Bob. I'm like, dude, why did you have to hold her job over her head?
Yes.
You know, because she wanted to, she didn't want to quit. She just wanted to end the relationship. And if she wasn't that great of a worker, then why'd y'all promote her to CEO then?
And it's not like she didn't like him. She said, I saw it wasn't a long-term relationship. So if somebody sees, if you know you don't want this person, you're not going to marry this person, then yeah, let him go. It's okay. But, you know, hey, whatever, man. And it does make point Bob Johnson out to be the sleazebag in this case, right?
Well, I don't think she painted. I haven't read the memoir, but I don't think that she's, because it seems like there's a lot of respect there. Mm-hmm. I doubt that she's going to paint him as he was the bad guy,
right?
In this. Now, this one part of it where he's like, okay, if you want to end it, you got to leave.
Right.
But I doubt that she's going to paint him to be, it is, but I doubt that she's going to paint him to be a bad guy because there's a lot of respect. And she even gives him credit that a lot of her success was due to him.
Which it was. Facts. Because he didn't mentor her and all that early on. So you made a great point that this is not just happening at the lower levels. It's happening even at the executive levels in this case, because it can happen to anyone. And that power dynamic is real. So is the dynamic of yellow journalism and the headlines, a.k.a. clickbait, man. I mean, you saw a headline. I saw one on New York Post. New York Post said, as we get into For the Love of Sports, Colin Kaepernick accuses white adoptive parents of problematic upbringing perpetuating racism. And the headline you saw said what?
Colin Kaepernick calls out adoptive parents' racism as he promotes new graphic novel.
This is all about him as a kid wanting to get cornrows, right? And his mom, his adoptive mom, telling him no. What'd she say? Let me get the words here, because it said, in actuality, she said, oh, your hair's not professional. You look like a little thug, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is, they're saying this white woman was saying this to this black son, and that's a problem. There are a lot of black mothers. Mm-hmm. A lot of black daddies, mm-hmm, who said the exact same thing to their sons too.
If there was a Terrell Jr., he's not going to have corn rolls as a kid. It's not going to happen.
Right.
I wouldn't allow him to do it. And not because I think he looks like a thug, because I would hope that his character would be such that no one would think that. But no. Mm-hmm. How many times you been to the black barbershop and you got the kid that gets in the chair, the barber looks at the parent, what do you want? And the, mm-hmm, parent's like, okay, do it like this. Line to this, put a one on this side, fade it up, taper the sides and back. That's it. They don't look at the little 10, 12-year-old, hey, what do you want? And he's going to say, yeah, that. I think it's crazy. And the clickbait that the media did is bad. But I can't say that it's racism that his parents didn't want him to have. Because I'm like this. So, Colin, let me see if I understand. These two white people adopted, yes, a mixed kid. No one else wanted you. They adopted you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Brought you into their home.
Took him into the house, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Raised you, but they're racist. Yes. Because they, and again, he didn't say they're racist. But I don't like the story. I don't like the headline, but also don't like the story the way that Colin's, you know, talking about it. Like, it's freaking cornrows.
And so they say perpetuating racism. I don't think it's perpetuating racism. Maybe, mm-mm, perpetuating stereotypes.
Right.
Now, that's more accurate, but you've got to be careful with your words. New York Post should be ashamed of themselves for that. Perpetuating racism. No, that wasn't. Because again, in that same space, I mean, what is she supposed to say? Well, you know, maybe if you got a bob, that'd be better. No, of course not.
No.
It's a lose-lose situation for her. But she just wants, she knows the neighborhoods they're in, they're living in, the suburbs they're in, the community they're in. She's seen the racism that he's facing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me not let you go down that road and get even more of it, because these racist jackasses outside of this house, mm-hmm, are going to hold it against you.
100%. And when you're young, kids make fun of you. You know, I did the, remember the Bobby Brown Gumby cut?
The Gumby, yeah.
Okay. I attempted that. And when I say I attempted, it means my brother cut my hair and his friend. Uh-oh. So it did not look anything like what Bobby Brown had. It was really all but like bald with like a mohawk strip that was just to the side right here.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. So my mom came home and she saw that and was like, what the hell did you do? And it's too late. It's already done. And so, mm-hmm, we went to New Orleans and I have one of my favorite uncles. We're at my grandmother's house. So everybody would always come to the grandma's house when we would get in town. That's how they would come see us. My uncle, mm-hmm, walked in the house and saw me. He was like, no, I'll be back. And he went, got his clippers, he got a little S-curl kit, came back, and it's like, I can't have my nephew walking around looking like this, because it did look stupid. You know, but he hooked it up and fixed it. But I agree that, you know, you can't just let kids just kind of, the fact that she didn't want him to have cornrows doesn't mean it's anything about racism. And there is a stereotype that comes to it, or that comes with it. And I don't see the big deal, you know, in the story. And I don't see how that was such a negative, problematic thing in his life.
I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on the S curl. Where's the picture?
I have one. I
put
have
it right
one.
Here.
I have one, but you can't really see the detail of it, but I have one. This was, God, long, long time ago. I feel like, I think I was in, because I remember the house we were in. I want to say I was in middle school when we did that. I can't remember. It had been like sixth grade or something, but I just don't see this being as problematic as the media is making it. But even for Colin, like, why would you even bring that up? Like, how did the cornrow situation, why is that a story in your memoir? How did that negatively impact you that you couldn't have cornrows when you were a kid?
Okay, and here's the thing. To defend Colin here, because I've defended him for a long time, I will say this. That's probably what stood out to him in his mind, right? And we can't pick and choose what stands out the most. Like, there's one of my favorite TV commercials is of this dad and his son. And the son's like, Dad, remember that day that we went to the game? And it was all, he started listing all these things that were bad and that nothing went right. And he was like, no, son, I don't remember. He goes, it was the best day ever. And it was just one of those things, right? Like, as he's telling it, you're going, that was a horrible day. But he's like, he says, the best day ever. Why? Because it was him and his dad. So for Colin and this is something that he wanted to do. He saw the quote unquote cool kids doing it. So he wants to be able to do it. They say no. Well, you know, the rebellion's going to happen at some point. And that's, I think that's the rebellion. Where I'm mad at is the New York Post for putting it this way, because Colin's mom has been out there since he started kneeling. She's been on Twitter. Like, the prayer warriors have been trying to get you to do more reality TV dating show recaps. She was out there battling everybody heads on. Even when he wouldn't take them on, she was there like, shut up. No, he's not this. He's not this. He was after every last one of them. She was after every last one of those right wing people coming after her son. And she defended him all the way. So I think they already had this conversation. It was in his Netflix special, which I didn't watch. And it's in this new graphic novel, which I haven't read. but he's still my boy. I like you, Colin.
Of course.
I'm going to play quarterback once again, though.
Kudos to you for being a diehard, you know, Cap fan. I get it. Mm-hmm. But I think that if the cornrows deal was that big of a thing in his life to fit into his memoir, I'm like, dude, get over it. Move on. Just kind of like being a quarterback in the NFL again. Move on. It's not going to happen.
Somehow I knew you were going to do that.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Because he even said in the interview with these people that, yeah, I'd still like to play football. Stop.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I'm sorry.
Stop. But I don't think anything about that, whether the New York Post or anyone else put the headline out or anything that he says in his memoir, I don't think that he thinks his parents were racist or anything like that. And I'm hoping in his memoir the word racism doesn't come up even around cornrows. But, you know, you had some adoptive parents, white family that took you in, raised you, and I would have done the same thing to my child. No, you're not going to have cornrows, period. And now you grow up, you get out of high school, go on to do you at that point. You're grown. But you're not going to be 10, 12 years old running around with cornrows, in my opinion. Yeah. I'm not a fan of it. And I think to the parents out there that have kids running around in cornrows, if you want, that's up to you. That's your choice. You can do that. I would not do that for mine. Right. I'm not saying you're wrong. All I'm saying is I couldn't date you and have a kid with you, and you let my kid walk around in cornrows at 10 years old. It would never happen.
Well, that's that. As we get to this bullshit, yo, I saw this headline, right? And you sent this to me. College girl racked up $500,000 in fraudulent purchases while working at Burlington Mall. What the heck happened? And where was she when we were in school?
So this story is insane because there's so many things missing. I have so many questions about this. But this young girl, she was a student. I forget what college she was going to.
It doesn't matter.
Really doesn't
she's
matter.
No longer there.
Doesn't matter what college she's going to. She's in jail right now.
They're but like, she doesn't. She never went here. No, she never went here.
This
at
girl
all.
Worked at a jewelry store called Lovisa, if I said it correctly. Lovisa. She worked there. And what her scam was, she would overcharge people and then credit back the overcharge to her own personal credit card. And all this happened in the month of February. And Ariel Foster is her name. She's 19. All this happened in the month of February. And with the investigation proved
that
there were eight transactions.
What?
8 transactions that totaled $540,000+.
Wow. So how many zeros did she add to each transaction? Oops, my bad.
This is insane because what she did was wrong. 100%. She deserves to go to jail. But someone else helped her because I've worked in retail and you have a P&L statement you get every week and you see all the different chargebacks, credits, all the different things that happened in that week. You can't tell me that none of that rose, brought up a red flag week over week to where in the span of 30, 40 days, they finally bust her for it. And it totaled $547,000. And here's what she did. She bought a Tesla. Okay. She spent $5,000 on Louis Vuitton purses.
Okay. Like style. Okay.
She had a $20,000 getaway, a $20,000 hotel getaway somewhere in Maui.
Okay.
So she bought that.
Traveling overseas.
All that doesn't total up to $500,000. The Tesla she bought was for $35,000. She did 6,000 worth of transactions to Delta Airlines.
Oh yeah, because that's going to take it to 500,000. Good call, man. I'm glad you included that.
I don't think she's even spent $100,000 yet, but there has to be someone else involved. And could you imagine her dorm mate? She's at LaSalle University. Could you imagine being in the dorm and you notice your roommate has all these purses and all this other stuff? And of course, she's 19, so she can't keep secrets. So I'm sure she told. Then when the police come and raid the place, her roommate had to be like, what the hell?
Hey, I bet you her roommate hid one of them purses under her bed.
Her roommate had to have one. Like, hey, girl, hook me up. Hook me up when you go. But that is just insane. But someone had to have helped her. There's no way a cashier has that much power to be able to do that.
I'm interested to hear the rest of the story. Who helped her? Was it a manager? And how long were her and the manager in a relationship? And that manager held that power dynamic of, now you do these chargebacks. I'm going to give you a little bit. And I'm going to give you about 20%.
Maybe they were in a relationship and the manager felt like, hey, this isn't something I see being long term. I want out. Oh, and boy. She says, oh, you want to leave me? Bet.
Let me buy this Tesla.
Yeah.
Let me go to Maui. Let me do this. Living my best life, all on IG. Hey, feds. Oh, yeah. By the way, I got somebody else I want to turn over so I get the minimum.
Exactly.
Time. I got you.
Exactly. Yeah, that's just insane.
It's coming.
It'll come.
We got to follow up on this story. You know what else we got to follow up on? Wednesday, Married at First Sight recap, season 16, Nashville recap. Then, of course, Friday, Ready to Love, another recap, season 7 recap. Then next Monday, back here for episode 126.
Yeah. Yeah. Married at First Sight.
Love is Blind is right around the corner.
It is. Is that what, March 27th?
Yeah, it's right around the corner.
Something like that. But
on 24th, we'll have to look at the date.
Will we be done with Ready to Love before we go into Love is Blind? Because I need a gap. I need a break.
Well, we'll have to check the dates. I don't know. Ready to Love seems to be dragging this out, so.
Very much so. At least Married at First Sight already got to some of the drama. We kind of know how it's gonna end up. Ready to Love is so bad, there's no even Reddit spoilers. It's like, there's no one gives a shit.
They're like, nah, we don't care. Y'all watch this? Shit.
Yeah, shit. As I'm just now watching The Wire. Shit.
Yeah, we ain't gonna talk about that. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.